We're studying the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. In this chapter, we will have a parable. I was listening to Marilyn Reed, the Greek, a while ago as I was setting up the machines. She's pretty good at it. And I was thinking about what God was trying to tell us in these messages. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ was the King of Israel, came to Israel, and Israel rejected him, and national Israel rejected him. And this parable that Jesus is going to give here is a condemnation of those people. The 21st chapter of Matthew, from verse 28 through 46, was a judgment of the wicked leaders in Jesus' time. Masada was that judgment of those wicked leaders in Jesus' time. We see over and over and over Jesus condemning the national leaders of Israel because they had missed the boat. They had missed the boat. The ship came in. Their ship came in. Their Messiah King came in, and they rejected the miracle worker, the creator of the world.
Yes.
It was a dastardly deed. It was a wicked act. And Jesus plainly tells them that they are spiritual fornicators, so to speak, and that they are worse than harlots and the worst of sinners. Mm-hmm. The worst than them. And yet they're religious leaders. Now, let's begin this by reading the Greek. Kai apokrithes ho Jesus. Pauline epen and barabales autos legon. And having answered the Jesus again, he spoke in parables to them, saying, who are these? Well, the Jews are around there, and they know that he's talking about them, and they hate him, and they want to murder him. And Jesus is speaking to these stubborn people. Stubborn, hard-hearted. He said, your hearts are like rocks, like flint rock. The prophets of old had given God's invitation to the nation of Israel, and they murdered them. They persecuted them. They beat them. They stoned them. John the Baptist called the spiritual leaders to repentance and belief in the coming Messiah. The law and the prophets are until John, and after that the kingdom of God is preached. The king had come. The stubborn refusal of the Israelite leaders to accept Jesus as God's son would cause millions to die. Millions to die. Every Jewish boy and girl, old man and woman that was killed in the Holocaust was because of what happened right here. Every Jew that was ever chased all over the world, the reason for it and the cause of it was right here, what they did. When Jesus, when Pontius Pilate tried to turn Jesus loose, he said, I'm innocent of this man's blood, and washed his hands. And they said, let his blood be upon us and our children. And it has been ever since. Ever since. 22 and verse 2. Homioi the he basilia ton uranon. Anthropo basili hostis epoiesen gamus to huiu auto. The kingdom of heaven is like, similar to, compared to, a man, a king, who he made a wedding feast. The gamos there, that's a, that means to for people to be glued together, come together, to be united. Gamos. A wedding feast. A wedding feast lasted for a whole week. A wedding feast for the son of him, the son belonging to him. Now, to prepare for a wedding feast, you had to have goats and sheep and a calf, maybe, the fatted calf. And you had to have wine. You had to have other things. You had to have bread. You had to have vegetables. You had to have spices and herbs. And you had to have workers to put all this together. Now, Jesus tells us that the kingdom of heaven is like a king that has a son that he loves very much, and this son is his heir. All right, this is his heir. And he's going to make a big wedding feast for this heir, because this heir is going to get married. He's going to be married. Now, I want you to understand something right now. As we study this, these verses of Scripture, they're very, very important. You're part of it. You are part of this. You have an opportunity to be part of this. You can be a guest at this wedding, or you can be the part of the bride that is married to the son. Or you can be left completely out. Completely. As Israel is. And always shall be. Israel rejected the Son of God. John prepared the bride for the Son of God. The church. The church is the bride. Now the bride is, now I know a lot of people don't believe this, but just bear with me, okay? Because it's scripture what I'm about to tell you. There is the family of God, the kingdom of God, and there is the church. Everybody that has been born again, repented of their sins, and asked God to save their soul, and this is very important because people get sidetracked. Today, the gospel is covered with a smokescreen of foolishness in religious circles. They forget to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They forget to preach the importance of repentance and faith in Christ. And that's very important because you're not going to get in the family of God unless you're there, unless you do that. Number two, what does it cost? What does it take to be in the bride? Everything in your life is what it takes. It all. It takes it all. You can be saved. Yeah, you've got to repent of your sins and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But if you want to be part of that bride, you better seek the scriptural church, scriptural baptism, and devote your life to God. You can be part of that bride. Israel had a chance to be part of that bride. Paul was part of it. I really believe he's part of the bride. Peter, they're part of the bride. Luke, Matthew, John. We can be part of that bride, or we can be a guest at the wedding. The best of the wedding. It's nice to be a guest at the wedding. It's nice to be in the family of God. Now, salvation is by grace. But I'm going to tell you something. Brideship is work and life dedication. Being saved is the most important thing that you can do in this world. Whether you give your life and you're whole for the Lord Jesus Christ, and keep yourself pure for Him as His bride. Israel could have been it. They could have been the bride. But it's over with. Israel will never be the bride. It's over. They will be in heaven. They will be leaders in the millennial reign. But they will not be sitting at Jesus' side like the bride is. There will be guests waiting on the bride and waiting on her husband. But that bride is a special place. A blessed place of service now and a present place of privilege forever. Verse number 3. Matthew 22 and verse number 3. Kai apistadein tous doulos auto kalise tous kek klemenos. Eis tous damus kai uk ethelon elthane. And he sent with great authority. That word is apostolane there, like apostle. That is one sent with divine or kingly authority. And he sent the slaves. He legally owned these men, doulos. They were bound slaves. They were bought and paid for. He sent his bond slaves, his legally owned men, belonging to him, to call the ones having been formally invited. Those that had been invited. Israel. You understand this? This is Israel. The ones having been formally invited. Israel was told that a Messiah was coming. Isaiah 53, Psalm 22. It told what was going to happen to them. There are thousands of promises in the Old Testament telling about Jesus coming. They had been called. They were the conveyors of God's word. The prophets were. And they were caretakers of the word of God. That's what Stephen said in the 7th chapter. That's what Peter said in the 2nd chapter of Acts. That's what Paul said too. And he wants to call the ones having been formally called into the wedding, and not they wish to come. This is a sign of extreme blasphemy and disrespect. Extreme blasphemy and disrespect. John the Baptist called forth national Israel to repentance. And said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And those people came out to him and seeking to be baptized. And he said, "Who caused you to flee from the wrath to come?" Because wrath is going to come on them. Wrath would be coming. It's been coming on their heads for 2,000 years because of this. Blasphemers. And they're still blasphemers. Every time they deny Jesus Christ, every time they have a seder. Every one of them representing Jesus Christ as the one Lamb of God, as our Passover, as our Yom Kippur, our atonement. Pauline apostolane alus doulos legon epate tois keklemenois edu to ariston mu hetoi maka. Hoi, ta roi, mu, kai, ta. Sitista. Tethemina. Kai, panta, etoima, dute, eis, tus, gamus. Again. John the Baptist called Israel to repentance. Jesus called Israel to repentance. Paul and Peter called Israel to repentance. John called Israel to repentance. The messengers. He sent his messengers, his apostles. That's basically what they were. He sent his apostles. and other bought and paid for and legally owned slaves. And that's all of us, people. That's you and me. I'll tell you one thing. I may not be the most perfect man that ever lived and walked God's face of his earth, but I'm going to tell you something. I preach the Word of God in its purity. Mm-hmm. The best that I can. The best I can. There are people out there preaching what we call a halfway gospel. Almost gospel. A tainted gospel. A nothing gospel. And there is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you must repent of your sins. And you must call upon Him to save your soul. Salvation is by grace. Jesus Christ did it all. He did it all. Saying repeatedly, they tell to the ones having been formally invited, Israel, 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 Israel. That's who it is talking about. Behold, who day? The breakfast. Look at that. The first meal of the day. The luncheon. This is the big breakfast. My breakfast. I have prepared. And the oxen belonging to me. And the fatted beasts having been killed and butchered. And all things are ready. Etoima. Come. This is a little particle of exclamation here, this do it. Come unto the wedding feast. Israel could have been part of the bride. They could have been guests at the wedding. But they chose not to. Nicodemus made it. Joseph of Arimathea made it. Peter made it. Paul made it. And Paul hated the church. And on the way to Damascus, he was struck down and blind. And the Lord spoke to him and said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Because when you persecute the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you persecute God. And Israel did it. The first great persecutor of God's churches was Israel. And they were summoned to the wedding feast. And they would not come. They would not come. Not only would they not come, but they killed the Son of God. Jesus goes in every way and gives a parable in every angle and facet to tell them, repent and believe. Hoide ame lesantes. Apelthon hos men eis ton union agru hos de epitein emporion autum. But the ones having made light of the matter, having neglected, having paid no attention, having refused, that all is in that word right there. Amelia. Having refused, paid no attention, would not pay attention at all. In a kingdom where a man was, if a city did not, if a region did not come to the wedding feast of his son, the king might declare war on them. Do you hear what I said? A great regent, a great king, if he invited every subject in his kingdom to come to him and he had one or two cities that didn't come, that they didn't show respect to the king, he would very easily and legally could have declared war upon them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what, God declared war on Israel. He declared war on them. He brought the 10th Roman Legion in. He brought Hitler. He sent many, many people in history against that people. But the ones having made light of the matter, they went. Who won to his own field, they didn't pay any attention to the invitation at all. One of them went to his field. And one went on a traveling sales trip. Then he couldn't care less. The word emporium there, we get our word emporium. In Bakersfield, California, there's an old Western store there, which used to be everything. That's where you went to buy clothes. It was the emporium. Verse number 26. Poi de lo poi. Cate santes. Tus dulus. Altu. Hebrison. Kai. Apectenon. But the ones remaining, having seized and laid hands upon the ones bond slaves of him, they insulted, they violently mistreated them. Israel, 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 Israel. Israel, the unfaithful. Israel, the reprobate. Reprobate Israel. Well, what is reprobate? That one who denies the faith. They say, oh, we have the word of God. We have the word of God. Abraham is our father. Moses is our instructor. But God sent forth his son. At the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem those that were cursed under the law. And Israel remained cursed. They seized the slaves of him, and they insulted, they violently mistreated them, and they killed them. Stephen was murdered. James was murdered. Many, many, many people were murdered by these people. Paul was finally beheaded because of them. Peter was crucified because of them. 22 and verse 7. Hoi de basileus orgiste. Kai pempsas ta stratemata. How to? Apolisen tus phones ekainus kai tain polin auton inepriatum. If a subject city, a district, would not obey and respect the master, the king had every legal right to destroy and kill everyone in that city, especially the leaders. And the king, having become filled with wrath, and having sent, look at that word, Pampson, having sent the soldiers to him, now we have the strategist, Stratumata. The soldiers, the bands of soldiers belonging to him. He destroyed the ones murderers and those and the city of them. And they burned it down flat. They burned it down flat. The farms were laid out, something like the Spanish, what we call, the casas. And every little casa was a fortress. Every little casa was a fortress. And what happened here, all of them were surrounded by walls, and they had a house inside for protection. Like a small city or a ranchero. The Apaches, You know, the United States government was going to teach the Indians how to grow things. The Indians, white man would have starved to death if it wasn't for what the Indians provided to the world. They didn't have to teach us how to farm. The government was going to teach the Apaches how to farm. What they were going to do is put them in Turkey Creek and those places where you couldn't farm. Because they had rancherias all over with fruit trees and vines and fields of corn that they had traded for from the Cherokees that developed the corn. Each rancheria in times of old had a bakery shop, had a laundry, had a blacksmith shop. They had storehouses. And that's what this king said, I want you to go lay them waste. Lay them waste. Masada was the last stand. Masada was not a proud Jewish thing. It was a Jewish rebellion that thumbed their nose at God. And they deserved everything they got. And their people have reaped the whirlwind ever since. And they will until they come down to that great tribulation period. And 2/3 of them are going to be killed then. To bring 1/3 of them through that will believe in God and trust in Him and worship and serve Him for 1,000 years in that reign. Millennial reign. 22 and verse 8. Tote lege tois lagois. Atu homen gamos. Etoimos. Esten hoi de kekle manoi. Uk eson axioi. And he says to the ones, his legal servants, his legally owned servants, indeed, the marriage is ready. The marriage ready it is. But the ones having been formally invited, the Jewish, Israel. Over and over again, Jesus is condemning them. John the Baptist condemned them. God condemned them in the Old Testament because they wouldn't believe. They suffered greatly. Antiochus Epiphanes, Nebuchadnezzar, Alexander the Great, Cyrus. God used all of these men. Having been formally invited and not, they kept on being worthy ones, oxios. Israel kept on being unworthy of her assignment, of her job, of her administration. She was a bad administrator. Verse number 9 now. Now we're going to talk about usins. Usins. Ewins and usins. Peruse un epit tas dex zedus ton hodon kai hosus eon urete kalesate es tus gamos. This is us in here. You go therefore upon the intersections where roads intersect, and as many as you may find, you call them unto the marriage festivities. Like I said, you can be part of the bride if you give it all. You can be part of the wedding festival. You can be a guest. Israel chose not. Kai exelthontes hoi duloi ekainoi eis tuos hudos sina gogon pontas us uron poneros te kai agathos kai epeleste hoi gamos ana ke menon. And you, and having gone forth the legally bought and paid for slaves, those that went into the roads, and they assembled all of whom they found. Perverse, crooked, and wicked people. That's us and people. Both and good. Good ones. And it was filled, the wedding feast, with the reclining ones. With the reclining ones. That's us, people. We get to go to the wedding. We get to go to the wedding. We're the guests. We're gonna enjoy these festivities. We're gonna eat of the fatted calf. We're gonna eat of that good bread and drink of that good wine. Aselthon de ho basileus. Thesaste tus anake menos. Eden eke anthropon uk and dida muminon and dima gamu. Oh, we got some Jehovah Witnesses here in Mormons. Think they're going to make it. Catholics. And having entered the king to behold the ones laying up to the table, he saw there the man not having been dressed in dress, in wedding dress. He's in not the right clothing. He's not dressed to go to the wedding. He's gone fishing. He's gone hunting. He's out digging ditches in his ditch digging clothes. He's out in pot and he's cotton picking duds. Yeah. He didn't respect the king. He didn't have a wedding garment on. Kai legeanto etare pus exalthes ode me ekon endima gamu hode ephimose. And he says to him, stranger, false friend, false friend. Oh yeah, you're religious, all right. But you don't have Jesus Christ on. You gotta have Jesus put on. You gotta have Jesus' clothing. You gotta have Jesus' righteousness on you. This is the form of address to someone you do not know their name. Mr. Sir, Mr. Sir, who are you? Stranger, false friend, how you entered here? How did you get here? Did you slip under the back door? Did you come through the basement? You can look that word up. That's a Linus Dedell and Scott on page 700. That word stranger, itare. Fair weather friend. Who do you think you are, fair weather friend? How did you get here? And not having the dress, an outward garment of the wedding? And the one was gagged and speechless and silenced and muzzled. He was didn't have any words of excuses. No excuses. I've seen religious people in my life that lived like the devil. You know, when you're born again, when you repent of your sins and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, you do lay some things down in the world that you carried along, the baggage that you carried with you before. You lay it down. You leave it over there someplace. Yeah, every now and then we smell like the devil. We smell like the flames of hell with some of the things we do. But in general, our lives are changed because we are changed. We're not the same people. Oh yeah, you can sin. You can go back to it. You can do it. You won't be happy in it. And the Lord won't be happy with you either. 23:13, 22:13, tote de basileos et pan tois diakonois. De santes auto podos kai kerais ek balete auto estos kotos. To ex oteron eke este ho cloth mos kai ho brig mos ton odon ton. Then the king, he said to his servants, his dust kickers, his laborers, you, having been bound him foot and hand, they cast him out into the darkness, the outer. Now, let's go talk about this outer darkness for a few minutes. Again, we have a Oriental type casa. Family home. During the wedding feast, everything in the courtyard is lit up. And everybody in the courtyard is eating, and they're taking, and they're eating food, and they're throwing it, they're throwing the fling over the wall. And that is, what the fling is something, Marilyn doesn't like fat, do you? Mm-mm. You don't like gristle. You take the fat and the gristle and throw it over the wall, and outside there are growling dogs. And you'll hear them growling and snapping for those morsels, for those slings. That's what it's talking about. Outside and outer darkness. Outside of the wedding feast, way out yonder. An outer darkness, and there shall be the wailing, the clobthmos. Wailing, and growling. And the gnashing of the teeth. The wailing, the growling, the screaming, the squalling, and the squealing, and the gnashing of teeth over those little bitty morsels. Poloi gar asin kletoi oligmoi de ekelektoi. Many there are that are called, but few are really the elect, the chosen. Many are called, all men are called. All of Israel were called to repentance. Only a few came. And today, people, God calls every man to repentance. Everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, because the world was already condemned, that the world through him might have life. You can have that life. You can have that life. You can serve the Lord to your heart's content. You know, when I was first just dedicated my life to God, I was fresh. I wanted to learn the Word of God. I wanted to learn the Word of God. I couldn't get enough of the Word of God. There wasn't enough days to go to church. I couldn't wait till the next time the next church ordered open. And if there was some place that I could go study in the meanwhile, or a book I could read, I did it. I did. People, right now, you got the internet. There are more than 4,300 messages on sermonaudio.com/DTW or discovertheword.com or discovertheword.com. Over 4,300 messages and over 2,800 videos. All free for you. It's all there. You can study any subject. You can listen to my teachers, my fellow students. You can learn to your heart's content, and you can give of your life. Learn God's Word. Learn to love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And give to Him of your money and of your life. He needs you. He needs you. And you need Him. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out. I pray You convict hearts of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. I pray for every one of my students, Father. I pray that they'll have a zeal to serve You with their life, with their wealth, and with their minds and their hearts. And I pray for them wherever they are that You will bring them through the storms that they go through every life, whether it is persecution or just personal problems and tribulations. And Father, I pray that You put on the hearts of people out there to give to Your work here. We need their help. And Father, thank You so much for all the blessings You give us. Thank You for each and every student that I have out there, and each and every one that gives and tries to serve You better. Thank You for those that faithfully give. I pray that You put on the hearts of the others that they will faithfully give. They'll faithfully learn. They'll faithfully give their lives to You. In Jesus' name I pray.